Today's episode is brought to you by Omio. Omio is a travel booking platform that makes planning a journey in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Omio will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Omio saves you time and money. That's a win-win in our books. Omio wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head to omio.com and use the code OMIO5 at checkout. Valid until July 31st for new users on all modes of transport. It's just the pick-me-up 2021 needs. Omio. Plan, book, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
And it's the Christian Mingle. That's right. It's not Christian.
If you close your eyes, you might see the truth revealed.
It's the Christian Singles episode. So not Christian Mingle, but Christian Singles.
Has anyone ever just had like banger after banger after banger of just theme songs, but they're all like the exact same on the low, except for one, which is just Christian?
I'm going to say Undertaker.
I'm...
Banger after banger after banger.
It's Fred Durst. It was Durst, the same song, banger. And then the Fred Durst, and then same song.
Look, we all go through phases in life. Undertaker had a weird Kid Rock Fred Durst phase.
Hey, sometimes you like funerals. Sometimes you do it all for the nookie.
Ball with the ball, to bang to bang. God damn it!
Roll, 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 roll. But Christian's theme song is literally just all the same. Like his AEW one, same. Yeah, same as his DNA one, same as fucking if you close your eyes, you might. Except those other two didn't have lyrics.
Yep. So yeah, we're talking about Christian this week on the podcast. Another wrestler who debuted in the 90s and is still fucking going, still doing it.
Yeah, and he still looks like the exact same, basically.
Does not look very different at all.
Now, I don't want to give Christian too much credit about this, because let's be honest, Christian has never exactly been the most physically appealing of sports entertainers.
That's so mean.
Let's be honest. I mean, he's not the biggest of guys.
No.
You know, he's always been more... Christian has always been the wrestler that I enjoyed, because he's the wrestler that's always just been kind of skinny fat, which I can appreciate.
Do you know the legend of Vince McMahon's opinion on Christian's face?
I do, but go ahead and tell the story.
You mean where Vince McMahon had the idea to put a blue dot over his face? Apparently it was a real suggestion.
Christian is not an ugly man.
He's not an ugly man. He's
a pretty handsome dude.
I just don't understand why.
Like, Vince, I'm sorry. Like,
replace it with a Viagra.
If we're putting a blue dot over one of Edge or Christian's faces, it's going to be Edge. No offense to Adam Copeland, but he just doesn't have... His face does not look as appealing as Christian Cage.
But no, they didn't put a blue dot over Christian. Before we get too deep into Christian, let's do all of the housekeeping things. As always, wherever you're listening, be sure to rate and subscribe. It helps the pod out tremendously. Tell a friend about the pod. Tell them Haas Month is coming. That's right, August, Haas Month. It'll be revealed at the end of the month. Very exciting. Yeah, Haas Month. Also, be sure to check out the merch table, fullpressshop.com. The merch is available. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at crossbodyofwork. If you have an idea for who we should cover after Haas Month, you let us know, crossbodyworkpod@gmail.com, or DM us on Twitter. Christian, a favorite of yours, or like somewhere, like you're just like an okay fan, or do you hate him?
I mean, I don't hate Christian. I don't
know. Not the way Vince McMahon does.
So Christian has always just kind of been around. I mean, Christian was around for some of my favorite moments in my entire fandom. I mean, you know, the one that always sticks out to me is the night after, or a couple, you know, whatever, after WrestleMania 21, when Cena debuted on Raw after the draft.
Yep.
And it was revealed, and Christian comes down, and his first shoot is with fucking Christian. Like, I still, you know, I remember that. Oddly enough, what I think of when I think of Christian more than anything is Tyson Tomko.
The problem solver who will like
always with Tomko.
Yep.
And so, like, yeah, that's just what I think about with Christian. I mean, I don't know. He's just kind of I always liked him. I always liked the Captain Charisma moniker. I always liked his theme song. I just never like was invested with Christian to the point where, like, you know, I felt he deserved top guy status or whatever.
And I think that is also the opinion of the people in charge. Like,
no, they just don't like him.
When you think of his best known tag team, it's always Edge and Christian, not the other way around. He never referred to them as Christian and Edge. It's also
Sounds better, though.
It sounds wrong, right?
Edge and Christian just sound better.
He was part of the Brood with Edge and Gangrel. Still the GOAT entrance of all time. Like, just so good. Obviously, the TLC matches. Then they stopped being vampires because they were vampires. That was legit a thing. They were vampires. And they stopped being vampires because it's a choice. And then instead, they decided to be absolute goofs and hang out with Kurt Angle and do 5-second poses. And they were very funny.
Yeah, it was definitely a trip. And then Christian decided to go his own way. He was jealous of Edge. He adopted one of the great theme songs, Christian.
Yeah.
Aligned himself with Team Canada and all of that. And just vibed out.
That's right. And then we all became his peeps.
Yeah, I don't know when that started happening. Christian was... So, there was like a period of Christian where I just don't remember, from like late 2003 up until like that very early stage of like 2005 where he, you know, became the Christian that we all really kind of think of with the peep show and all that stuff. I don't know what happened during that period, but...
What were you up to, sir?
I would like to know what the hell Christian was up to.
I mean, between 2003 and 2005? 2005 is when he would leave.
Late 2005, though.
Yeah. Late 2005. And, like, he was in some... Well, actually, our first match takes place in that time frame.
See, that's the only thing I know of from that period.
So let's
because
go
I just... I know this match.
Let's go into that first match. WrestleMania 20. It's Christian versus Chris Jericho in a marquee singles match on the WrestleMania card. Look at that.
Yeah.
Canadians making it big. You love to see it.
Let's be honest, though. It's not because of Christian.
All this started over a bet to see who could sleep with someone first. Jericho was tasked to sleep with Trish Stratus. And I remember it being they were both trying to sleep with Trish Stratus, but that wasn't the case.
No.
Christian was supposed to try to sleep with Lita. And then Jericho caught feelings.
And you know what? I do not blame him.
No, that's
I would have too. For Trish Stratus? Are you kidding me?
Stratus also caught feelings for Jericho, but Christian was kind of like, nah, like, she thinks you're a friend. Christian was being a dick, and he was great at it. He was getting mad at Jericho for, you know, being in love with Stratus and distracting him from their team, from their partnership and their friendship, and telling Stratus to keep putting him in the friend zone. And then Christian was forced to be put in an intergender match against Trish, and he's like, no, I won't hurt you. It's okay. I'm going to lie down. You cover me, and then it'll be over. And then he kicked out at two and demoed Trish Stratus.
Yeah, that was a lariat, folks.
That was a designated lariat. And then just saying, like, I did this for you, Chris. And Chris is like, well, you beat a woman for me. I don't like that. I'm going to come kick your ass. Which, you know, reasonable. So these two have a fight at WrestleMania 20. There's no actual stipulation involved. It's just these two hate each other now, so let's go to town. And Tim White is the ref. Just want to point that out. Tim White matches. We love to see them.
Shout out to Tim White.
Shout out to Timmy. Stellar. Never in the way. You like that about a ref.
It's unfortunate what happened to him in his career.
Yeah. Thoughts on the match? Obviously, WrestleMania 20, we've both seen it. Thoughts on the match when you rewatched it?
How did this get marquee billing? Fuck me. There was so much, like, if you look at WrestleMania 20, like, actually it was pretty decently stacked.
Yeah, it's had a lot going on, yeah.
How the fuck was this one of the marquee matches?
I mean, Jericho's a pretty big star still, like, at this point. Jericho's still, like, a reasonable star.
Yeah, Trish Stratus is very
attractive. Stratus is a star. And goddammit, who doesn't need CanCon? You need some Canadian content.
Gotta get that Canada market.
Yeah, we're big in the Canada market, by the way. Just throwing that out there. I check the charts. I check where we're at.
I mean, it's probably just because one of us is Canadian.
Yeah, and you know, there's less people to try to have to convince. We're only 30-something million people up here. So
this is true.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, what do you guys do aside from listening to podcasts? Go to Tim Hortons and chase?
You know, you got to take your polar bears for a walk. And the thing is, if you get hurt on your walk, you just go get free healthcare. It's pretty lit.
Say very nice things to each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, she's great, for sure.
She's a fantastic. Oh, yeah, no, for sure. MMA.
The fact that the phrase, oh, yeah, no, for sure, is understandable by all Canadians is stupid. And we say it.
Sure.
Instead of just saying, yeah, we go, oh, yeah, no, for sure. Dummies. Anyways, this match, Jericho, I thought would have a little bit more tenacity early. I thought, based on everything that had happened in the storyline, that he would have a little bit more shark in the water to him. But no, just some
knees. So you mean you didn't want a collar and elbow to lock up to start the match?
I did not want that. I did not want that at all. Though, my favorite part early on is Jericho tossing Christian to the outside while Jericho's on the apron. And Christian goes so fucking high in the air. Just, wee! Good shit.
Yeah, that was fucking hilarious. Jericho does a springboard dive from the corner to the outside there. A little springboard plancha action.
Yeah.
Christian avoids getting the walls of Jericho, pull it on him, and then dumps Jericho out of the ring.
Yeah, returns.
Then we get textbook heel work from Christian Cage.
That's right. He's whipping Jericho down by the hair. He takes some hair out too. He like puts the hair like, oh, look.
Yeah, he like slams him back down on the ground by his hair. And he's just like, oh. Although you can't see the hair.
No, because it's so fine and blonde.
Yeah. Jericho, by the way, fantastic hair right here.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite eras of Jericho. Yeah. Definitely. A favorite era.
What is your favorite era?
Of Jericho?
Yes.
Debut on Raw, Jericho.
Okay.
It was goofy as shit.
I kind of like the soccer mom hair.
Taunting Goldberg in WCW era.
My favorite is the mom hair. Like the one where Cena debuts on Raw and he's like, oh, and he's got the hair up to like just beyond his ears. That's my favorite Jericho.
He's got a bob.
That is the best Jericho hair. I don't care what anyone says. The man was on one.
He's a style connoisseur. So we get a lot of Christian in control now.
Yes, Christian is in control until they bump heads.
Yep.
A bump head straight out of a corner. It was accidental, I guess.
Yeah.
Jericho hits a step up in Zaguri for a near fall. Christian does a roll up, holds the rope, feet up on the ropes and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Near fall. Jericho at one point here goes for a line salt. Christian gets the knees up. He then dumps Jericho off from the top rope and hits a flying crossbody to the inside here. So Christian's on the top rope.
Yeah.
Jericho goes up to meet him, tries to go for a superplex.
Yeah.
Christian throws him off, hits a flying crossbody. Jericho manages to shift his weight, gets the pin on for a near fall.
You do.
Christian is heated. So what does the good old man from Toronto, Canada do? Puts on a Texas cloverleaf.
Yeah, and a good one. A pretty good one.
It's pretty hard to mess up a Texas cloverleaf.
Yeah, it's the submission that all of us were put in by siblings. It's one of them.
Yeah, no, I would say the submission is the walls.
It's the walls, because it's the easiest one to do, 100%. Also, during this, Jericho is taunting Christian, calling him CLB. For those who don't know, Christian was called a creepy little bastard, which is the very strange sequel to that Michael Jackson song. PYT. Pretty young thing. That's right.
PYT.
You let me flounder with this terrible reference?
No, I understood it, but my favorite thing about PYT is that Kanye samples that song on Good Life.
Oh, yeah, he does. I didn't even notice that. Texas Cloverleaf, leave. Jericho rolls through and into walls. Christian gets to the ropes immediately, but Jericho holds the hold as Christian tries to escape through the ropes and then puts it on the floor. And I was like, oh, that's a neat spot.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that, actually.
Yeah, it's neat.
And then this is the part where homegirl Trish comes down the ring.
That's right. If this match wasn't stratified, here it comes. Trish comes down while both men are down. DDT by Christian, and he hits 2-2 counts. And then Trish gets on the apron, and Christian brings her into the ring and whips her into the turnbuckle face first.
They, like, shoved her.
Yeah. Jericho dumps Christian and goes to check on Trish, like the, you know, baby face he is. And Trish isn't looking, and she elbows him in the face by accident. Roll up by Christian for the win. The sneaky little bastard.
Yes, and then after the match, you know, you think we're going to get this incredible moment. Jericho, Trish Stratus. This is the Otis and Mandy Rose moment we've all been waiting for.
That's right. And Christian, she slaps him.
And if Christian runs into the ring, hits an unprettier. And would you look at that? Trish Stratus is with a Canadian, but he's not from Winnipeg, you idiots. He's from Toronto.
It's a Canadian canoodling. Or, hold on, I got more. A Toronto tongue tango. These two are a pair of northern ne'er-do-wells. Or, plainly, they are the Ontario's. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun watching this match. What a good match.
I'm trying to think of one with Vancouver, but I can't think of anything.
Well, they're not Vancouver Virgins. Ooh, I tell you what. I tell you what. So the next part is actually the promo for Christian. On October 31st of 2005, his contract with WWE expired. He was asked to sign a contract on the spot and declined. His last match occurred during the tapings for the November 4th episode of SmackDown. And despite quitting, or I guess not re-signing, he still appeared on the October 31st episode of Raw and Taboo Tuesday on November 1st, where he was one of the eligible wrestlers to be voted against Chris Masters and Snitsky, because Taboo Tuesday was fun and actually had voting. Very cool. But the reason that he didn't resign is because he wanted some more opportunity for growth.
Wanted some assurances.
And he went to TNA. So we're looking at his debut in TNA at Genesis 2005. Did you watch Christian Cage in TNA?
I did. I actually low-key remember this, if I'm being honest. So yeah. I didn't obviously watch this pay-per-view. I did not buy pay-per-views. I'm still to this day a scumbag and do not pay for things unless they are conveniently provided to me, like the WWE Network. But yeah, no, this was pretty cool because I just remember watching TNA one day and, oh, would you look at that? It's Christian.
Yeah, what the hell is he doing here? Now going by Christian Cage. So the actual clip of him debuting, they pan up. There's like a star before over a doorway, and then he comes through the door, and they pan up from his feet up, and all I can think of is, hem your fucking jeans, man. But then I remember, it's 2005. That's how jeans were. Jeans were just a little baggier then. Baggy enough to, like, sneak things into the movie theaters.
First off, jeans were a little baggier then, but also, shirts were way too large. Like,
shirts,
I am a large.
Shirts were so big.
I am a large, but I would be wearing a double XL, people. Yeah. That's just how things were.
I had a large or extra large Dwayne Wade jersey that I would wear in, like, middle school, and it was down to my knees.
And like, I respect that in so many ways. You have no idea.
Yeah, this just little white boy running around with hair to his shoulders and a Wade jersey on, just trying to cross people over with no ball skills. Yeah,
love that. Great. Yeah, I love everything about what you just said.
I am essentially like Dennis Rodman as a play style in terms of, like, I am not scoring. I will play very good defense.
Oh my God. So Monday I was playing basketball with my buddy and some random kid was at the court and he was like, hey, you guys want to play King of the Court? And we were like, sure. You know, it's just kind of knockout one-on-one style. And at one point I was on a little bit of a hot streak and I just kept hitting shots. And my buddy was like, oh, it's Stephen Curry. And then I like, the guy started playing good defense on me. And I tell my buddy, I'm not Stephen Curry, I'm Klay Thompson, you son of a bitch. And then I just, as soon as the ball was checked to me, I just throw up a random three and made it.
There you go.
Which is true. I can't dribble to save my life, but the boy can shoot.
Yeah, the boy, shooter's going to shoot, you know? Anyways, the debut of Christian Cage. He gets a countdown before he actually comes out, and then the screen says Christian Cage. Gives off Jericho vibes, but it's Christian. He is out here in a shirt that is patterned like my grandmother's tablecloth. It is a white shirt with weird patterns on it, like a doily.
That's my tablecloth downstairs.
They also show people backstage like reacting to his debut, and there's Jarrett, like Jeff Jarrett, and he's pissed. And there's Shane Douglas and Monty Brown. Fuck, I love Monty Brown. The pounce is amazing.
It really is. No, I am. TNA was a fun time at this point because it was just kind of like this mixture of such weird talent, but they were all like pretty good, except
yeah,
there was Jeff Jarrett.
One of them was Jeff Jarrett. Yeah,
yeah. One of them. Well, not one of the things that I mentioned earlier, but the people on the roster. One of them was Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of funny. He was coming in and immediately challenges for the NWA champion. He was championship. He was old and for as fuck. By the way, the reason we chose this as his promo, not because it's his best promo, it's just kind of like a big moment. This is like an iconic TNA moment. It's Christian Cage debuting.
This is on YouTube as one of the top TNA moments. Like, that's what it's listed as.
Yeah,
the debut of Christian Cage.
Because it was. It's legitimately one of the... It's probably their second biggest debut ever, I would say.
Fair.
Number one would be Kurt. Number one, Kurt. Yeah. It's not close.
So he says he didn't come here because he got fired. He came here because he wants opportunity. He wants the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, which is currently held by Jarrett. And then we get an appearance by Team Canada. There's so much Canadian content. Scott D'Amore and Bobbert Roode are here, and they're here to offer him a spot in Team Canada. Roode does not seem to actually want Christian in here at all.
This was just kind of what he did, Bobby Roode. Although, my God, does anyone play the douchebag, like, you know, snarky douchebag, like, I'm better than you even though I'm not really, type of guy than Bobby Roode?
Nobody better.
I fucking love Bobby Roode.
He's so punchable.
He's so good at what he does. He's such a great heel. I can't believe WWE ever tried to make him babyface. Oh, wait, Vincent.
It's because the theme song slapped too hard.
Remember the glorious thing that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa would do?
It's great.
I miss those guys.
I miss when they were, you know, friends. Oh,
I mean, they are, but
don't ruin kayfabe for me. They're here to offer Christian a spot in Team Canada, and Roode said Captain Grizzman with air quotes, which I liked. And then Team Canada wants an answer right now, and Scott D'Amore's like, Bobby, hey, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah, this is my job.
We'll give him time. They give Christian a shirt, and he says that wait and see later on that night he would decline the offer to be in Team Canada.
Did you know who was in Team Canada at this point? If you had to guess, go.
Petey Williams?
Yes.
And then I know, obviously, Bobby and Scott D'Amore. There's one other person, too, and I can't remember.
You're going to punch yourself when you figure it out.
Is it Lance Storm? It's not Lance.
It's not Lance.
Who is it? Oh, wait, it's Eric Young.
It is Eric Young. Hey! Ding, 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 ding.
All right.
Can you imagine a collection of Christian Cage, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, and fucking Petey Williams?
That's lit.
That's a nice team. And only two of them can cut a promo.
Well, that's why you have Scott D'Amore. He can do the promos
for you. That guy now runs TNA. I'm sorry, yeah. Impact Wrestling.
Get it right. Speaking of Impact Wrestling, we're going to take our first break. When we get back, we're going to look at two Christian Cage matches in TNA. Back from the break, and we are looking at our first Christian Cage match in TNA. It is him versus the Samoan named Joseph at Bound for Glory 2007 with special guest enforcer Matt Morgan. Ooh, the budget on this match is insane.
Matt Morgan.
The disrespect to Matthew Morgan. He is a professional, sir. Christian has never been pinned or submitted in TNA. Samoa Joe is on an 18-month winning streak. One of those things has to end.
Samoa Joe has not been pinned or submitted in over 2 years at this point.
Oh, 2 years. I thought it was 18 months. Christian Cage might be at 18 months of not being pinned. That might be what it was.
Probably.
Because they said that he hasn't been pinned or submitted in 18 months or since his debut.
This was during during Joe's streak. So yeah, he hasn't been pinned or submitted in 2 years. I don't know if it's 18 months. I mean, 2 years, 18 months, same shit.
Joe gets Samoan dances before his entrance. Cool.
Cool, but like Samoa Joe even says that he's not very Samoan.
Yeah.
Like he is, just like not really.
But like wrestling promoters love to be like, oh, you have a little bit of a heritage. Oh, we're going to make your whole character that thing. Like I would end up like a Ronaldo impersonator because they're like, you're Portuguese. Go to it.
Are you like Bruno Fernandes?
Yeah, they're like, though one time I did do like an aptitude test for like which careers you should go into. And I swear to God, they just took one look at my last name. They're like, construction. I was like, but I'm not good at anything. They're like, bricklayer. I don't want to work with my hands at all. Please don't make me do stuff.
I always kind of wanted to do manual labor until, but then I realized like, if you do manual labor, you have to also clean up after yourself and I'm just all set.
It's like how I love cooking and hate cleaning.
No, I love dude. Like love part it. Of me really wants to be a chef because I genuinely love cooking food.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't really make a lot of money. And it's like a lot of hours. And like I love cooking food, but I'm not like I don't want to do all that.
I did have like a 2 week span of my life when I just read Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain. And I was like, I'm gonna become a chef. This looks fun as hell. And then a friend of mine was like, here are all the reasons you would hate this, because he actually worked at a restaurant. And I was like, cool, good to know. Good to know. Thank you.
I would suck at ordering produce. I'd never know how much I need.
How many lettuces do we need? How many lettai? This no, many lettuces. Lettai?
Lettuces is the correct.
Lettuces. Anyways, Samoan Joseph and Christian Cage.
Someone hire us for your podcast.
We bring good content. Christian is already a two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion by this point. He had won it once and lost it, and then he won it again, and then TNA stopped using the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So they're like, deuces. That's two episodes in a row now where somebody was supposed to be NWA champion, and they're like, too fucking bad. If you didn't go listen to it yet, go listen to our Rick Rude episode. It's very good.
Yeah. Greatly enjoyed Rick Rude.
Yeah. Rick Rude, great time. Early on, Joe using his power early, big shoulder charge, slaps, big knee in the six-sided corner. Joe is looking fucking sharp.
Yeah, this is prime Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe from 2003, 4-ish to about 2008, maybe early 2009. 2009 was when it started to fall off a little bit, mostly because of TNA, not Joe. But then Joe was never bad. I just, you know, it's like how... Like, LeBron James is still one of the best basketball players in the world.
Yeah.
He's just not as good as he was, like, someone's 4 years ago.
Someone's like, oh, he's the fifth best player in the league now. Cool. He's amazing.
Which, also, he's not five. He's a top five player. He ain't five.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
I would say he's, like, third. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't think he should have been third in MVP or anything. But, like, if I'm just laying it out, who are the best basketball players in the world right now? He's like third.
I mean, the people gave Derrick Rose an MVP vote. So like,
MVP's different from best player. Like, we know this.
That's true.
It's just different. It's two different things. This isn't baseball.
Let's keep going through.
Speaking of things that aren't baseball.
Samoa Joe.
There's a Joe's gonna kill you chant, and I was just ready to fucking jump off a bridge. I fucking love Samoa Joe.
Yeah, he's dominating. So diving leg lariat by Joe, fuckload of stiff kicks.
He slapped the shit out of Christian at one point.
He did. Christian tries to hop over Joe when running the ropes, and Joe just like turns it into a pancake. I was like, God, I don't see that enough. That's good.
Love a good pancake.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love pancakes? Joe hits a leg lariat off the middle rope at one point. He does some crazy ass chops. Christian, when Christian's like in like a tree of woe kind of position, chops the fuck out of Christian, then hits a running basement drop kick. Joe hits a running suicide dive, but he turns it into a forearm. Samoa Joe does this. He's like the only one that does it. I understand why more people don't do it. It's a great move.
Pretty much in position already.
Yeah, instead of pushing someone when you're doing a suicide dive, hey, just fucking throw a forearm.
Yeah, throw hands. Then he props Christian up against the guardrail, and Joe kicks his face off.
Yeah, Joe fucking says, hey, Christian, your head, smush.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to make your face look like a little blue dot. You're welcome, Vince. Christian then ends up in control. I don't remember how Christian got control.
So there was a point right after that guardrail spot where Joe tried to like suplex Christian onto the apron or do some sort of apron move. Christian like rebounded up off the ropes and came back and DDT Joe on the outside.
Okay, so that makes sense. Because then Christian's in control. We get a choke hold with the legs. We get a frog splash, but nobody's home for Christian. Then my favorite spot that came next was the slingshot into the ring where Joe just kicks him right in the fucking head.
Oh, dude, the kick. My one note on that was, what a kick.
It's so good.
Joe hit the twisting plancha to the outside, which is another move that I don't understand why more people don't do. Why is Samoa Joe doing all this cool like dive shit? The man is fucking huge.
Yeah, exactly. And that's right after Cage had bumped into special enforcer Matt Morgan, who tells him to get back in the ring.
Yeah, Joe hits a lariat, and that was a fucking lariat for a near fall. Series of reversals. Joe hits a buckle bomb, and then a bunch of like little moves here and there, like a senton, all this other stuff for a near fall. Krishna at one point slips out while Joe's in the top rope and hits a power bomb out of the corner. And then he tries using the ropes for the pins, but it doesn't matter because Samoa Joe is Jesus.
Samoan Jesus. Is this when we get our first Tomko sighting?
This is when we get our first Tomko sighting because the Christian Coalition comes out.
Yes, the Christian Coalition. I have a question. Were Tomko and Styles tag team champions?
Yes.
That is hilarious to me.
Yes, they were.
That is one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, and AJ Styles as tag team champion. That is amazing. AJ Styles consistently being carried in tag teams. Omos, Tyson Tomko.
Which team has better upside? Tyson Tomko and AJ Styles or fucking Omos and AJ Styles?
Omos is fucking amazing.
I really like Omos.
I'm on the hype train.
I will say I do not want to see him ever be a singles guy. Ever. But like I am in on him being the heavy of a tag team.
Yeah, I get that. They're going to make him a singles guy at some point.
I know. I don't want it to happen though.
I just really want him to be with Malcolm Bivens. I just think Malcolm could have a very fun time piping him
up. I'm
pretty
sure they were together. Like
I think they were for a little bit. NXT,
well, the NXT circuit, not NXT proper.
Yeah. So yeah, Tom goes out. Morgan tells him to get lost. They're trading shots, and then Styles comes in while they're distracted.
Yeah, he went for a phenomenal forearm,
and Morgan catches him. And then chases them both off, so that way the Christian Coalition is not in the picture.
The ref is distracted by this, though, because the ref is a scumbag. Christian kicks the shit out of Samoa Joe's testicles, and then hits an unprettier for a near fall.
Yeah, Joe kicks out. And then we're pretty much right into the finish. Joe with the muscle buster, and then a coquina clutch, and Christian has no choice but to tap.
And the streak continues.
The streak for Joe continues. The streak for Christian is over.
The Christian Coalition couldn't get it done.
No. Let's see if the Christian Coalition can get it done this time, because we move to our next match. Christian versus Kaz. And you're like, who the fuck is Kaz? Is that Kazarni? No, it's not. It's Frankie Kazarian. Kaz.
Also known as Kaz. That's kind of what everyone calls him.
The short form of his name. Genesis 2007 ladder match. This is the finals of the Fight for the Right tournament, which is the number one contendership tournament. So,
hey, cool. Is that AEW's own Frankie Kazarian? First off, actually, now that I think about it, these two guys had a match on Dynamite like a couple months ago.
Yeah, so these two who have an intense ladder match at like the top of near the top of the company 14 years ago are still wrestling each other like last month.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's pretty wild.
One of them is the Elite Hunter.
Yeah. And one of them is Christian Cage.
I don't know what that storyline is about, but I like the name the Elite Hunter.
Also, we're back on Bilibili again.
Yeah, I noticed. I love the sketchy site again.
I love it because I think since we've gone to it a couple of times and I've saved like links to it, now it comes up more frequently in my like searching for videos. It's like, do you want, it's on Bilibili. And I'm like, all right, I'll use it.
Which I'm okay with, because I kind of like learned what everything means in the menu, like at the bottom panel. So like I found the thing to speed up the timer. No, I just kept clicking on stuff. I found the thing to speed up.
What does this do?
I found the thing to speed it up. I found everything, the quality, all that stuff.
Yeah, you're set. That's good. These do a really good match. Have you seen this one?
I haven't. No, I actually missed a lot of Frankie Kazarian in TNA, just because I really just didn't give a shit about Frankie Kazarian in TNA. Not to be a dick, but like I liked him in The Addiction. Don't get me wrong. I really liked him when he was a tag team with Christopher Daniels, but I couldn't do the singles with him. It just never worked for me.
For you.
He was just one of those. It's not that I didn't like him. I just didn't care. Like, I never, like, if one of the members of The Addiction was going to be the guy who was going to get this major singles push, I would have wanted it to be Christopher Daniels.
So this is two different wrestlers who are the second favorite of a favorite tag team for you.
No, because I like Christian way more than I liked Edge. Fuck Edge. I hate Edge.
That's true. You hate Edge because you're a John Cena mark.
Johnny John, John Boy, John John.
Yeah. Also, this is for people listening in the future. This is the week after Money in the Bank 2021. Javier is still riding the high of John Cena returning.
Yes, this is the greatest week of my life. I just want everyone to know that I, for once, actually watched Raw. Admittedly, I only watched Raw up until Cena showed up, which was the first segment, and then I stopped watching Raw.
That's enough of this.
But that's enough of that. I will tune in to SmackDown because he will probably be on it. And, you know, we might be back in the WWE train until after SummerSlam when he's gone and I stop watching.
When he goes back to filming, I don't know, Fast 14 or wherever we're at. This match, pretty good. Kaz with some swift kicks early. Nice crescent kick. He's the first one to go for a ladder. Cage meets him out there. A lot of just, like, spots in this. Like, this was a pretty spot-heavy.
Yeah, this is kind of a spot fest.
Yeah, like, there's not a lot. Like, there's no real story to, I mean, there's the tournament, that's great, but like in terms of the actual in-ring action, it's a spot fest.
Yeah, there's not much psychology. Yeah, is what
so
I
like
know.
Let's just go through favorite spots. What are your favorite spots in
the I really like the springboard planche onto Christian when Christian's holding up the ladder pretty early on, and it kind of just, I like that Kaz still sells it. Most people wouldn't sell that. Rob Van Dam would sell it.
Rob Van Dam sells every move he ever does.
Kaz sells it like death. I'll tell you what I don't like about this match is Frankie Kazarian's gear. Why? What is that yellow? Well, what is this, Kaz? It doesn't work.
Is a kind of gross yellow.
Only one person has ever been able to make yellow trunks work, and that is CM Punk. That is it. He is the only one.
I mean, there's a pretty famous one that we don't fuck with, but...
No, fuck that guy. Okay. He doesn't count.
Yeah, no, cool.
Sting doesn't count either because he had pants that were yellow. Not
one of my favorite spots is the fact that Cage, with a busted open eye, knocks Kaz onto a ladder bridge because they obviously always set up the ladder between the
It was like a Russian leg sweep, but Christian didn't go down too. He just kind of dropped him.
And then he gets up and does a frog splash onto a ladder that does not budge even a little bit.
Yeah, I want that ladder. Where can I buy that ladder?
That is fucking sturdy. These two men are like powering through and they're like, mm-mm. You're good.
Like I've been on pretty high up ladders. But like, and it's kind of, it's always been the kind of ladder, you know, the kind of ladder that doesn't like, it's not like these wrestling ladders that they like are two sides. It's the kind of just like the one ladder.
Yeah,
that you just lean on. I've been on that kind of ladder. And that's, it's scary, but I mean, it's not really. Like, I don't trust it, but if someone's at the bottom, which pretty much every time someone has been at the bottom, like, whatever, I'm not going to be scared because it's their fault.
I will sue them. point, they both have ladders set up in the ring. So we're not going to go through all of it, but there's a lot of spots here. Both ladders set up in the ring, men on either ladder, both up top. And in my head, I'm like, if they were smart like Nikki Ash, they'd just grab the contract. But they're not. They both could reach it, but they're both like, eh.
That's Raw Women's Champion, Nikki Ash.
That's right. Cashed in this week. Good for her.
What the fuck is WWE?
I don't know. It's fun.
Like, can we just have people with the Money in the Bank briefcase? Like, the last, like, 4 years, it's been such quick cash-ins.
Yes, the women's briefcase has lasted... the only person to hold it for more than a day was Carmella.
And she held it for a very long time.
287? Saw that earlier.
This is bullshit. Anyways, Daz at one point gets low-blowed by Christian and then dumped back onto a ladder, which is the frog splash spot, which I thought was cool because I love a good low-blow spot.
Yes.
There's one point here where Kaz tips a ladder, Christian lands on his feet, and then clothesline him. I especially love the part where Christian throws a ladder in Kaz's face.
Just whips it at him.
Just fucking whips it right at him.
Why overthink this?
And then he catapults Kaz straight into the ladder.
Yeah.
At one point, Kaz flings a ladder at Christian because he's like, get away from me. And then he swings the ladder, like grabs the ladder, swings it at Christian, drives him out of the ring. And then we get a spot where Christian, with a different ladder, hits Kaz while he's on a ladder.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. This is basically ladder wars. We're ladder just fighting wars. With ladders.
It's pretty good. I like when Kaz puts the ladder up and it's too far away. Like, he put it through the rope and he sets it up. And commentary's like, what's he doing? Putting it through the ropes. And then he gets to the top and he's like, oh, man. Like, Kaz, you're far from the middle of the ring. Did you think that you were in the middle of the ring? Do you know how
big I like the thought process, though, because he's thinking, if I hit a move off this ladder, that guy's fuck. But so, I also don't trust these ladders. So let me make it stable.
Yeah. So he does go for the move off the top. And it wasn't good because Christian moves and he lands feet first on the ladder.
I love the spot where Kaz tries to go for a Spanish fly off the ladder. Christian blocks it and hits an inverted DDT.
It's good shit. It's good
shit. It's such good shit.
The one spot before we get to the ending is Christian has it set up in the middle of the ring. Springboard dropkick by Kaz and he takes out the ladder. That was a good spot. Yeah.
And then was that where the contract fell out?
The contract fell out?
Yeah, the paper that's on the clipboard fell out.
I did not.
Like, it was on the ring, and then the commentary had to be like, they're supposed to just grab the clipboard. The clipboard is what wins the match.
I did not see that. That's
yeah, no. The papers were just on in the middle of the ring. It's like somewhere in this range. Like after, I think it was Kaz, because Christian was like reaching for the thing, and I think he touched it. He may have accidentally knocked out the papers as he's like falling. I don't know, but the Christian Coalition comes out, baby.
Yeah, more Christian Coalition.
Apparently, before the match, Christian told them not to interfere in the match. So Tomko is like yelling at AJ, like, yeah, we got to go back. And AJ's like, fuck that.
Nah, I'm here to help. They distract Christian and Kaz are on the ladder and they get distracted and they start to teeter and they fall towards the Christian Coalition. Christian gets dumped to the outside and falls on his teammates.
Kaz catches himself.
Kaz keeps his balance, rights the ladder, which was very impressive. The fact that he was able to get the ladder right side up, because you don't want to push too far, you'll fall back the other way. Impressive balance.
Yeah, we're not selling this right. So they fall over. Kaz catches himself on the top rope with his leg.
Yes.
And then pushes himself back, and he is perfectly stable in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. Impressive as hell.
Goes up like two rungs, grabs the clipboard, the empty briefcase. Clipboard.
They can't afford a briefcase. They're like, we have a clipboard. Here's the Scott DeMore's clipboard.
Admittedly, what is inside a briefcase? A clipboard and the contract.
That's true. That's true. I thought the match was really fun. For a match I'd never seen before, I was like, this is good. I think the Samoa Joe match is a better wrestling match, but this had a lot of fun ladder spots.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the Samoa Joe match. I like that. You know, sometimes you just need a palate cleanser, and this was the palate cleanser.
We're going to take our last break. When we get back, Christian returns to WWE. Back from the break, and we got a match against Alberto Del Dickhead. Extreme Rules 2011, the World Heavyweight Championship is vacant, and it's being decided in the ladder match. Edge had retired after WrestleMania 27, where he had retained the World Heavyweight Championship against Alberto Del Dickhead, and the title was vacated. Since the last challenger was Del Rio, he gets a shot. And Christian won a 20-man battle royal to face him. I will say for anyone listen or anyone who's going to watch this match, because of course, if you don't know, we put all the links to the match on fullpresswrestling.com. You should go check them out. They're all on there. Usually we also tweet the links out, so check us out on Twitter. Anyways, you'll want to listen to it on mute.
Because yeah, the commentary is
bad.
So I watched this match on 3.5 speed. Usually I do a 3.2, but I just commentary was so insufferable. I just wanted to get it out of the way.
I watch it on 1.25. How are you watching it at 3. Something?
Oh, I said 3.5. I meant 1.5. Sorry, I watched it on 1.5 speed. I didn't even know three.
Like a superpower.
No.
Oh my god!
I usually do the 1.25. Okay. Because it's a rate where you could hear commentary a little faster. The match tends to move a little quicker, and you know, but it's not too quick. Yeah. 1.5. I'm not gonna lie, I was scrambling a bit with my notes because the match was progressing quick. But I also didn't have to hear Michael Cole. Really,
this is true. It's Michael Cole in heel mode. It's Booker T, Shucky Ducky, Quack Quack, and it's Josh Matthews.
Just the less I know, the better. That is what I will say.
That's just all bad. Also, commentary does play up consistently that Del Rio ended Edge's career. Pretty sure all those spears and giant ladder bumps are the things that did it. But
yeah, go fuck off. You guys, by the way, for that.
Yeah, fuck off.
Also, if you close your eyes, you might see the truth revealed.
Good Christian theme song content.
Love that. I also missed the big gold belt. Just seeing it swinging there, I was like, damn.
It's a good belt.
I missed the big gold belt. The big gold belt was the belt that I had as a kid, like the replica belt that I would had. Mine was the was the big gold belt. I could not get the spinner title belt, no matter how many times I asked.
Mm. I still have a shitty replica of the winged eagle.
Oh wait, are you talking about like a real replica? Because no, like, I'm talking like about just like belt. The crappy like foam one that you get from Toys R Us for like $20.
Yeah, I have a foam winged eagle. That's what I have.
I like that.
Yeah. It was in my office for a while. Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Well, now your office is where you live.
Exactly. Moving is coming in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks by the time this comes out. We will move the day our next episode comes out is the day that we're
Evan and I are unemployed, boys.
Woo! That's a lie. I'm a freelancer. Hire me. I will write for you or host things.
But hire even me. If you're freelancing, you're still unemployed.
I am underemployed. or as my friend calls it, fun employment. Anyways, enough about that. On to the match. It's really easy for Christian to be likable in this match because he's going against Del Rio.
Yeah, Alberto Del Dipshit. They start the match with strikes, which actually it was a pretty decent start to the match, I will say. Alberto Del Dipshit. For as much of a dipshit as he is, and for as awful as a human being he is, he's pretty fine as a wrestler. I think you give him a decent, partner to go with, and they could work some good stuff together.
Yeah.
But he's also a terrible fuck person.
Yeah, he's a terrible person, but he's a quality wrestler.
Hope he rots in prison.
One of the first things in the match that was like a big spot is they're out to the outside because Christian had gone out to go get a ladder, and Del Rio meets him. He stuffs Christian under the ring. Commentary's like, that's unorthodox. Why would you do that? That's weird as hell. And then Christian slides out the other side while Del Rio's getting a ladder, gets in the ring, and hits a diving dropkick out to Del Rio's face. I was like, great. Love when things backfire on Del Rio. That's awesome.
Also, how fucking quick was he crawling across the ring?
You had to be just like scurrying.
Dude was like, so he got out of the other side very quickly.
Yeah. Neither one of them are able to get up the ladder early. Just they're trading control. Del Rio with an enziguri and stomps to Christian's face. Christian dumps Del Rio to the outside. Of course, somebody makes a ladder bridge. There's always got to be a ladder bridge now, and somebody's going to go through it or hit it at least.
At one point here, I have a note that says heel Michael Cole is the worst. I don't remember what he said,
but, God, that's
but I heard it at 1.5 speed. So clearly it was not great.
It's a little chipmunk Cole. When the ladder bridge is set up, Christian slides underneath it. Del Rio ends up face first on it, gets up and pushes Christian off the turnbuckle. And Christian, instead of falling, just catches himself on another ladder. I was like, damn.
And then he hits a crossbody off that ladder.
A really good crossbody. I was like, okay.
I was like, nimble.
Yeah.
I like that.
This is what I thought about. Do you prefer babyface or heel Christian?
I prefer heel Christian.
Me too.
I just do.
He's really good at it.
I love heel promos. The heel promos that Christian cuts. And he's always like, he's never like dickhead heel. He's not like Roman Reigns. You know, no. He's not like the overconfident guy. He's just kind of like pussy. He's just a pussy as a heel. That's the best way I could describe it. Like, there's not really that many people that are a heel like Christian. He's just, I'm sorry, but is that not like the perfect way to describe heel Christian?
I was just letting you go off. I just, the emphasis you put on it to be like, Christian is a pussy. And I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, like, shit. Is that we're not how you would describe
taking Christian names?
Is no, that that's not right. The perfect way to describe him? How many people are like that? Like, I don't mean like MJF, because MJF, like, he's kind of like right, though. Like, the thing you hate about MJF is that he's right.
That is one of the most the least likable things about MJF is when he has a point. And I'm like,
fuck off,
god damn it!
But like, there is no just a pussy heel.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the? There's an Onion article that sometimes I see the headline of, and it's like, oh no, the worst person you know made a really good point. That's MJF. How I feel with MJF. I'm like, oh damn it,
right. Son of a bitch.
Del Rio goes shoulder first into a ladder after Pancake. Del Rio then gets sent to the outside by Christian. And Del Rio has a tiny ladder. He's got a little tiny ladder. That is a step ladder. Del Rio's real ladder left when he was 5 years old. Del Rio hits an arm breaker on Christian off of the tiny ladder and then kind of puts an arm bar on through the ladder. Which I'm like, how does the ladder do anything? I don't get it.
Oh my god.
You still laughing at the step ladder? What are you doing, stepladder? I'm stuck. Anyways.
Oh, no.
All right, I've broken Javier. I'll keep talking about the match. This is good. So Christian's up with the ladder. Del Rio hits a nice enziguri, which causes Christian to fall face first onto a ladder. What I mean, when he was up, he was actually on the top turnbuckle. He was going to kind of jump off the turnbuckle and push the ladder onto Del Rio. Del Rio instead caught him with an enziguri. And Christian just kind of falls forward and lands face first onto the ladder. Not good.
Del Dipshit was very good at enziguris.
That was like the thing he could pull out of his bag at any moment, and it was amazing.
Now, like, everyone hits an enziguri, but Del Dipshit at the time was very good at the enziguri. Yeah. Although, I mean, Dolph Ziggler probably doesn't agree.
Oh, fair. Ouch. That hurts. Ricardo Rodriguez is here, and I love him. I think he was great as part of this gimmick.
Alberto,
yeah.
Del Rio.
Personal ring announcer is a great gimmick. It's excellent.
It is.
And he gives a chair to Del Rio. Christian reverses and tosses Del Rio into the ring post. And then we get a spear from Christian, which obviously is an homage to Edge. The weird part about it is just like,
they were very identical.
Like, there was a little bit of uncanny valley. Like, the facial expressions were the same. Like, I get that. These guys know each other so well. They've been together forever.
They were childhood best friends.
Yeah. Like, so he can perfectly mimic Edge. And I was like, this is weird. It's also weird because he doesn't have long hair. So he didn't have the, like, hair. Because normally Edge is, like, messing with his hair or, like, pulling it back.
My favorite thing about Edge is that even in his return, he grew out his hair again.
Oh, yeah, you got to. He also was on a show about Vikings, so he's got to have long hair.
No, because he was on Vikings, wasn't he, when he had the haircut, too?
I don't know. I always meant to check out Vikings, and I never did.
I saw the first season a few years back on Hulu, and I really got invested in it, but it was at a time in my life where the only show I could commit to was just rewatching One Tree Hill. So
fair enough. We've all been there.
Have we, though?
I mean, I was trying to make you feel better, but here we are. The spear's good. The spear's
it's a good looking edge spear, I should say.
Yeah. Del Rio catches Christian while he's climbing, because Christian started climbing the ladder, and pulls him through the rung of the ladder, so he gets stuck right by his armpits. It was a very, very weird situation.
Can you tell why this was my favorite spot in all of the matches that we watched?
No. Why?
It's because John Cena beat Edge that way in a TLC match that they had to win the WWE title.
That makes sense. Everything relates back to Big Match John.
It was a very important moment in my childhood.
Del Rio climbs up. Christian frees himself and pushes Del Rio down. The only thing I had next was that Christian falling onto the ladder bridge, which...
How is that what you had next? You didn't have the part where Christian climbs a ladder and is about to reach for the belt and then fucking... Wait, Christian didn't land on the ladder bridge. Del Rio landed on the ladder bridge.
No, I thought... Oh, no. Christian lands on falls onto a ladder and then Del Rio goes for it all and goes spine first onto the ladder.
Yeah, which I want to know, what was he going for there? Was he going for a senton off the top rope? Was he going for a leg drop, elbow drop?
I think a leg drop, but he just didn't commit.
He landed on his fucking spine.
It's not good.
Buddy's like he walked out that bitch. Christian tries climbing the ladder because Del Rio is dead.
Yep.
But who should come and pull him off the ladder right as he's grabbing the belt? But Brodus Clay.
Yeah, Brodus Clay is here.
Who is the rookie, I believe, at the time for the dipshit?
Yeah, I think so. I just wrote boo. He gets Christian down, but Christian escapes and hits him with the El Torito-sized ladder, so that's good. Del Rio recovers, arm breaker on Christian, and then Del Rio's reaching for the title. He's almost there, and then we hear a honk of a horn, and I'm like, oh, someone's stealing Del Rio's car. Nope. It's Edge in a Jeep.
Yeah, he's in a Jeep, and I'm very weird. Oh? And with the weirdest look on his face, he's like,
didn't expect me.
And the guy Christian who comes, knocks Del Rio off the ladder, climbs up the ladder, and pulls down the big gold belt. For the first time in his career, Christian is a world champion in the WWE.
Get someone who looks at you the way Edge looks at Christian as he's about to get the belt.
Because if you think about it, it was Christian that turned on Edge. Edge never turned on Christian.
That's true. Edge still loved him. Like a little brother. This match is fun. I think it's a better ladder match than the Kaz match. It felt less spotty.
Yeah, and there was a story.
Then there's a very deep and enriched story happening around it. But also, just the moment of seeing Christian get his first world title in WWE is huge.
Like that's, Edge is crying, and yeah. Just those two embracing each other and all that stuff, you know.
Does Christian deserve a Hall of Fame spot on his own?
Did he not get one? I thought he was already a Hall of Famer.
Did he get one already? I remember people would debate this question before.
I think he should be. I mean, the guy's an ECW World Champion.
I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame except for with Edge.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think he should. I think Christian was a very... stable. Again, it's the thing I'll always answer with when someone asks me this. Like, Coco Beware is in the fucking Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Coco Beware is known because he had a parrot. I could not name you a single Coco Beware match.
Edge and Christian aren't even in the Hall of Fame. Edge is. Because he was
that makes sense that Edge and Christian are not in the Hall of Fame.
And Edge and Christian inducted the Dudley Boys.
That might be what I remember. I don't fucking know. Who knows these days, man?
Who knows these days? Let's move to our last match. Let's finish off here.
Speaking of all-time great matches.
With a banger at the end of this kind of summer with Christian. It is SummerSlam 2011 World Heavyweight Championship match. No holds barred. So Christian is entering as the champion. Because when Christian won at Extreme Rules, he would lose the next SmackDown World Heavyweight Championship to Randy Orton, LOL. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, so 2 days later, at the SmackDown taping,
he would
Christian
lose to
dropped
Orton.
The belt to Orton. Yeah. It didn't air until Friday, but he only had the belt for 2 days.
And then at Over the Limit on May 22nd, Christian failed to regain the title. On an episode of SmackDown in June, he was the special referee for a match between Orton and Sheamus. Orton won, and then Christian, after the match, hit him with the title belt and turned heel. At Capital Punishment, remember the show Capital Punishment? What a time.
Wasn't that the one where Cena faced R-Truth?
R-Truth, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, what a time. Christian faced Orton for the world title. Failed to capture it because the ref missed a foot under the bottom rope. At Money in the Bank in July, Christian won because Orton was disqualified for kicking him in the nuts. Stipulation was if Orton was disqualified or the referee made a bad call, he would lose the title.
What a pay-per-view, Money in the Bank 2011, by the way. What a
pay-per-view. Wild that it's 10 years old. Wild.
I remember watching that pay-per-view.
I was not watching at that time, but I remember hearing about it because of how big it was.
I watched it. I was very much like struggling to pay attention with WWE, but CM Punk was in the fucking WWE Championship match against John Cena, so I like had to watch this. Yeah. So I think I just found an illegal stream or something, as I usually
naturally
did back then. And I watched it. I watched the whole thing. I remember really liking that Money in the Bank match between Edge and Edge, between Christian and Orton.
Yeah. But this is the kind of the conclusion, really, like the big conclusion of their story. Heel Christian here again. Very good. Also, I think the thing that had sparked my thinking of Rodman is in the front row, there's a dude in a Rodman Lakers jersey. Why do you have a Rodman Lakers jersey?
That's awesome.
It's very strange. It's like, sir, are you okay? This match does not feel 10 years old, but it is.
Just what a feud these guys had.
Yeah.
An incredible, like literally, they like carried the summer on their back with that feud. Not really. I mean, CM Punk carried the summer.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure Punk carried.
They carried SmackDown on their back with
they
that.
Did. Feud. They did. They did a really good job. Early on, Orton goes for the draping DDT. Christian launches him to the outside. Christian avoids an RKO on the announce table, gets the championship, and just fucks off. I like that. Also,
before that, we need to talk about the Orton stomps. Those stomps that he would do back in the day, he still somewhat does it now, but it would be way more cocky and cool back in the day when he would just like stretch out the arm, stomp, give the head, stomp, random chest, stomp, sticks out one leg, stomp, stomps the other leg. Like just those cool little stomps that he would do. I fucking love that.
That was a move in some of the like SmackDown versus Raw games, I remember, and it would take forever.
But yes,
it was really cool, and it would annoy your friend if you had it, if you were Orton, or if you had it in your career wrestler, and then you would do it, and they'd be like,
just spam it
so long, and they're like, "Fuck, just let me get up."
Like, no,
the answer is no.
Orton was beating this man's ass up until Christian manages to post him, and then he grabs a kendo stick and starts beating Orton with it.
Yeah, a lot of kendo stick action in this match.
And then we get a weird spot here, but I mean, I know you appreciated this more than anybody. Christian tries to do a kendo stick shot from the middle rope, but Orton just jumps up and hits arguably the greatest dropkick of all time.
It's so crispy.
It's arguably the greatest dropkick in the history of professional wrestling.
And so then Orton now has the kendo stick, and he's going to go use it. Boots to the face, though, by Christian. We get to the outside. Orton's getting tables, and all I could see, I was like, there are so many fucking Gatorades under there. There's this huge crate of like Gatorades and Pops to the right, and I was like, why there's so many? Is Hornswoggle under the ring doing Raw GM shit?
No, this is what they do, you know, in between the matches. They get their electrolytes.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta keep ready. So he gets a table out. Then Orton suplexes Christian onto a table that isn't set up. It's just a flat table. And commentators like, oh, on the table. I'm like, that doesn't...
You know, no, it doesn't count. He didn't go through the table.
Yeah. Ooh, you hit a cutout of a table. Ooh.
But Orton like picks up the table to try to set it up. One of the legs is completely broken. It's wobbling flat all over the place. And then you could see a massive crack in the middle of the table. So he just obviously, you know, uses his big old brain. And he's like, nah, fuck it, I'll set it up in the corner. So he sets it up in the corner.
Yeah, that works. That's good.
Christian hits an inverted DDT, tries for a spear, but Orton cleanly jumps over it because that motherfucker has hops.
He does toe touches. He's clean. Like that one celly he did after an RKO where he fucking leapt in the air. He did that, except he did to avoid a spear.
And they're on the outside, and at one point, fucking Orton Irish whips Christian into stairs. And the way Christian sold it, he went tumbling over it, but my man's kneecaps were gone.
He looked like he was trying to land a dismount in the fucking vault. Shout out to people who are watching the Olympics.
Shout out to Simone Biles.
Shout out to Simone Biles, who's gonna go and just run shit.
Who also literally has to get, like, handicapped because she's so good and still wins.
I've told everybody this story because I still think it's funny. The fact that the Olympic committee was like, we are making cardboard beds that will are only meant to support one person at a time, and it's so that the athletes don't have sex with one another, because apparently the issue always at the Olympics is athletes fucking. Do you think that the greatest athletes in the world need a bed to have sex? Are you a moron? Yeah.
Do you mean to tell me that those gymnasts can't figure it out?
Yeah, or that like those swimmers won't figure it out? Like, or that the weightlifters won't figure it out? Get your head out of your
head. Or like, is it, first off, you think they'll just do it in the bedroom? What the fuck? Bro, I'm an Olympic athlete. I'll fucking go balls deep in public. I don't give a shit.
Here's my gold medal. Everyone leave me alone.
Here's my gold medal. Hey, sweetheart, come here.
So then I obviously the athletes have shown up now in Tokyo. And there's a clip of like, I don't know what athlete or what sport this guy played, but he's a pretty big guy. And he just leaps clean onto the bed and it does not break. And I'm like, oh, so it doesn't matter. I just still find something like, we've made sex-proof beds. And like, have you met people?
Like, I thought it was like a COVID thing, which is why they did that.
It's probably so that, oh, there's less interaction. You can't like sleep two people to a bed where they could get cooties. I'm like, what are you doing?
Or just like maybe the germs won't be left behind because it's cardboard or whatever.
Yeah, well, they said it's compost. It's anyways, back to this match. I did love the spot where Christian got whipped over those stairs because it was hilarious.
There's a lot of counters, which it makes so much. I love that part of this match is the amount of counters there are just because their feud stretched for like,
yeah, they just know the repertoire so well. Yeah,
exactly. At one point, Christian takes one of the monitors from the announce table and hits Orton with it, which was like very fucking cool.
Yeah.
Christian does the Orton. So he puts Orton on the announce table. He starts doing the Orton taunts just right before Orton does the RKO.
Yeah, there's a little pump up where he's on the ground and he's got his fist.
little pump up. He's giving him he's staring daggers into the motherfucker. And then he tries to go for the RKO. Orton blocks it because it's fucking Randy Orton, people.
It's his move.
Hits an RKO of its own and they go crashing through the announce table.
Then we get into the ring. RKO in the ring is reversed into a kill switch, which is the unprettier, which I prefer the name the unprettier.
Yeah.
Because you face down. It's fucking
I figured out what Christian called it, if I'm being completely honest with you. I called it the unprettier throughout my notes because I genuinely couldn't
remember. So it was the unprettier, and then it got switched to the kill switch. It's the same thing.
But it's PG. It's not PG.
It's dumb. It
shouldn't be the unprettier.
Christian goes for a concerto attempt, which is always sad when they have to do it alone. It's meant to be done with friends.
Instead, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Orton moves. Christian's on the apron. Orton uses a chair to bump him off and through a table. Orton then is firmly in control for the rest of the match. He's like, all right, we have all these things. We're wrapping up. Time to fuck this creepy little bastard up.
Dude, so Christian's on the apron at one point. Orton takes a chair, smacks him with it. Christian falls off the apron and goes fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's what I said. They use the chair to push him off and through a table.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that's when Orton's like, all right, I have this guy right where I want him. Tries to stomp Christian's head on steel steps in the ring, and Christian's like, oh, that'll actually kill me, so he moves.
Yeah. Snap power slam through a table.
So fucking nice.
Love that.
Kendo Orton,
best
shots.
Snap power slam. Best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's him, then Goldie.
Yeah, and then there's a very sizable gap, and then it's whoever the fuck is third. I don't even know who else does.
Probably
Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is third.
That's fair. Garbage can draping DDT, as in the draping DDT on.
I like how he like dents it a little bit so that it won't roll away, but like it stopped rolling before he dented it.
That's weird. I didn't notice that. Orton is just fucking Christian up here. We get a kendo stick shot to Orton while he's setting up for an RKO. Christian then goes for a springboard off the middle rope, and just gets caught in an RKO onto some steel steps. I just wrote, get fucked, you creepy little bastard. Like, that hurts. That hurts.
Who do you think that hurt more?
Orton was in visible pain. Orton's shoulder clearly clipped the stairs in a weird way, and he was in visible pain.
And you like, you could also just tell, like, that man messed up his back on that shit.
Yeah, and then Christian goes face first into some steel steps.
But, like, I feel like the top part of it is hollow enough that, like, that probably doesn't hurt as much as the edge, which is what Orton caught. I feel like Orton edge took triggered. The brunt of that shit.
Yeah, that's fair. Obviously, an RKO onto steel steps after being caught out of midair ends the match, and Randy Orton is the World Heavyweight Champion. Yeah, 1, 2, 3,
it's over.
Naturally. Of course, you know, this is not the end for Christian. Christian, you know, has, you know, one more match forever. And then we thought he was gone for a long time. You know, he retired in 2014.
Concussion problems.
Yeah, and then would return to the ring in 2020. And then was in the 2021 Royal Rumble. Everyone was like, oh my God, Edge and Christian are both back. And then Christian left and went to AEW. Deuces.
And now he is Christian Cage once again fighting Frankie Kazarian on Dynamite.
Yeah. It was his first singles match in 7 years. That match was on March 31st. Him and Kaz.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I'm really happy for Christian. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys listened to the Edge and Christian Pod of Awesomeness when they had that going.
It used to be part of my my road trip rotation.
It was a part of my regular weekly rotation. Well, yeah. It depended on who was on it, to be fair. Like, if they had somebody I didn't know, I wouldn't listen. But, like, you know, I tended to listen to a lot of it. And you could just feel the passion those two have for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But specifically Christian, I mean, you know, it's one thing for Edge to come back. Because Edge comes back, and you know 100% he's going to be a main event guy.
Yeah.
Like, when Edge came back at 2020 Royal Rumble, and, like, we knew he was sticking around for a while, you knew he was going to get a world title shot at one point, maybe even a token world title run. But Christian, if he ever came back, he just wasn't going to be pushed as a main event guy.
No.
There's just no way. He would not even get a world title shot. So he did what was logical and said, deuces. And he went to a company that puts some value in him. And yeah, he's had some terrific value, I feel like, for AEW. And I think he could be a key piece for them moving forward. I don't think he's going to be a world champion. He might get a world title shot on Dynamite at some point. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, I think what Christian Cage offers AEW is invaluable. You know, he's a guy who, who has more ladder match experience than Christian? Who been in more train wreck type matches than Christian? Yeah. But also, how many guys are technically better than Christian Cage? Like, he has so many years of experience that you're telling me people like MJF, who is probably the closest thing to being a pussy heel that AEW has,
yeah.
Or Jungle Boy, who is just really fucking good, or you know, these young guys that they have there can't learn anything. You're telling me Darby Allin can't learn how to take a couple bumps from Christian?
That's true.
You know, save his fucking neck.
I remember people saying, oh, well, you know, one thing that AEW doesn't have at their disposal that WWE has is, like, the training network, right? Like, NXT is the best training network in the world, probably.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
in all of sports, period. Not even just wrestling.
There's some who would be like, oh, the New Japan Dojo system. No, that's its own thing, right? But, like, the NXT is world fucking class. What AEW did, eventually AEW is going to have their own developmental type thing. Like, they're gonna use probably Cody's school, right, and make that like more of a developmental thing. I could see that happening. But what they're doing is filling in a brain trust around. They're bringing in your Christians, they're bringing in your Matt Hardys, they're bringing in your Mark Henrys, your big shows, right? Chavo Guerrero was on this week. Like, bring in these guys who can teach these guys, because AEW has no problem pushing the younger guys, right?
We've seen it
consistently. Darby Allin, Miro, fucking Kenny
Omega. Main event Darby is a thing.
Adam Page, right? But then they bring in these other guys to kind of supplement them. Your Stings, right? That kind of just your Tazes. They all fill in this brain trust of knowledge and really help the product grow. Christian's never going to be a world champion in AEW, but he doesn't need to be. He's already a world champion in the eyes of the people who are tuning in, right?
Yeah.
He's a NWA. He's a, you know, a world heavyweight champion in WWE, multiple time over tag champion, intercontinental champion. He's got the resume.
Yeah, you don't make a top five tag team list without Edge and Christian.
You don't.
You just
absolutely
don't.
Do not.
That's just like, I don't care what you think of the Dudleys and the Hardy Boys. Edge and Christian are on that list. They just are. Like if I'm making a top five just off the top of my head, even just overall teams, Edge and Christian are on it.
Yeah.
They may not be one, but they're in the top five.
Yeah. And Christian's solo run, I will say, the ability to be versatile and fill different roles is valuable, right? Because yeah. sometimes people are main eventers and you can't put them anywhere else in the card and it's really weird and then they just have nothing to do.
Yeah, probably.
Christian can walk out there and have a match. Like, he could walk out in AEW today and have a match with Kenny Omega or have a match with Brian Pillman Jr. and it's still good. He's a glue guy for the whole roster, and he was the whole time. You know, he can have your segments with John Cena. He can have your segments with fucking Rene Dupree. It doesn't matter, right? He covers the spectrum of the ability to kind of interact with the roster, if that makes sense.
What the fuck were you saying about Rene Dupree?
An unnecessary Rene Dupree drive-by, but here we are.
That's not okay. I'm not okay with this. Rene Dupree was a main eventer, you motherfucker.
Yeah, maybe in your creator wrestler, who knows. Anyways, that's going to wrap up this week's episode. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. Bring me a follow, why don't you?
Yeah, it's awesome, a follow. It's awesome to follow, too. At It's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. Like I said, freelancer now. If you need writing done, wrestling, sports, you need hosting done, pods done.
Entertainment.
I got lots of spare time.
If anybody wants me to host their One Tree Hill podcast and dissect every episode individually, I will do it.
Yeah, it'll be dissect, but just for One Tree Hill. It'll be awesome.
Every episode will be 2 hours long. The fucking episodes themselves are only like 45 minutes, but that's...
Strap in, folks.
The podcast will be 2 hours, motherfuckers.
Follow this podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. Next week, like I said, next week is I'm going to be prepping for my move. For those of you who know Canadian geography, I'm moving to the nation's capital. I'm moving to Ottawa. So if we have listeners in Ottawa, which I know we do, be my friend. Let's go watch wrestling. Anyways.
What's Ottawa's team? Are they Predators?
Senators.
Close enough.
Same amount of syllables. You're good. So in order to facilitate the move, we're having a pretty easy watching experience next week. Who are we covering next week, Javier? You remember?
We are covering fucking Midian.
We're covering Dennis Knight. We're covering him as part of the Godmans. We're covering him in WCW, which I did not know that he was in WCW before coming to WWF. And we're covering Midian as part of the ministry, as well as we're doing one match of Naked Midian.
Let's go!
Naked Midian. Also, more exciting for this podcast, we have a fucking Viscera appearance on the podcast. Let's go. King Mabel is here.
There we go. I knew you didn't just call that motherfucker Viscera.
I would get to King Mabel. Don't worry. This podcast is pro King Mabel.
This is a Mabel podcast.
It's eventually going to get there. That is going to be it for this week's episode. Javier, any last words for the people?
We just went through an entire episode talking about Christian, who really is kind of a motivational story, if you think about it, in his own right. A guy who was forced to retire from the thing that he loved way back in 2014. And by that point, he was already in his late 30s or something like that, maybe early 40s. And 6 years later, he's able to come back and do the things that he loved again. I mean, if that's not an inspiring story, I don't know what is. Just... everyone out there, don't give up on your dreams. Keep fucking fighting for it. You know, make the impossible possible, because life is fucking weird sometimes. And maybe something impossible one day won't be some other day. So just keep grinding through it, folks.
Cue the Kevin Garnett anything is possible scream.
That's anything how we'll is possible.
It. There it is. That's going to do it for this week. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week when we cover the career of Midian.